What's up, everybody? On this week of Inside the Pocket, we are talking the PGA Tour, which is here in St. Louis. We took a week off of golf ourselves. We're talking about some NFL stories and fantasy football's right around the corner. We get some NHL updates. We're also going to be going over our wild stories of the week, what we would do if we were president. Austin's got a conspiracy theory, our tender talks, and debatables. As always, we're going to end it with a beer review. Let's go.
Welcome to Inside the Pocket. It is Austin here, and with me as always is Gavin.
Sup, guys?
I really didn't do anything this week since preseason was happening and the PGA was in St. Louis. What did you do?
Well, I actually did some things because I'm not just lazy. The PGA is here in St. Louis. We took a week off. Austin was struggling a little bit last weekend, so we thought he needed a little break. Try to freeze me out because I'm just getting red hot. Big golf guys. But we did not go to the PGA. We kind of followed it a little bit. We'll talk more of that in a little bit. But kind of talking about how we took the week off, you know, you were really struggling or whatever. And I totally understand because when it comes to like competition, I'm really competitive, which sucks because I'm not that very good at much stuff.
Right.
But I hate losing more than I think I enjoy winning.
Yeah, I would rather never lose anything than win anything.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like how you never win like a raffle ticket or anything, but you like pay in for that. So it's like you're kind of doing it for a charity. So it doesn't really matter if you lose. But if I'm giving effort into something and lose it, even winning wouldn't have overdone it for me. I'd be like, oh, I just won. But if I lose, I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
Because I lost.
Yeah.
That
part of that goes into the volleyball experience we've been having lately, because that's just been rough. But it is a new league that they're in. They went up to a new division, but I'm ready to actually win some volleyball games.
Well, I kind of saw where that was going. Now I just slam pitchers every time I get there, so I'm feeling fine by the end of it.
That's what we're just going to start doing. One big thing for us being construction guys in the union is Right to Work came and got shit stomped in the vote.
Let's
770,000 votes to around 300,000. So if any other politician feels like bringing that up would pretty much be political suicide, because we've pretty much made it evident that here in Missouri we don't want that shit, so shut the fuck up about it. Another thing, we are looking into some new mics and gear because we are now officially on iTunes. You can find us on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe, comment, and review the podcast. That helps get it up in the boards and allows other people to find us and start listening. And we want to hear what other random people have to think about our dumbass shit that we talk about. So that's exciting, and you can expect for the quality of the podcast to be going up very, very soon. And we are also working on a website where we'll start posting blogs and other random takes throughout the week, so you guys can jump into some of the conversations with us and let us know what you think. Other than that, that's pretty much all that I got, and we are going to go ahead and jump into some of our preseason NFL fantasy and preseason recap and stories. All right, so since you didn't really do much but watch the preseason football, Austin, what are some of the things you noticed early on?
Well, I was really happy that the Colts actually ended up winning their preseason game, even though I said they weren't going to win.
And Luck survived it.
Yes, he did not break into a million pieces like everybody thought he would, but this is like one thing I like to do with betting. Like, betting against your team is never fun. Like, you never want your team to lose, but I did that last week saying the Colts are going to lose, but they won, so I'm happy regardless, because my favorite team still won, and if they lost, I would have been like, oh, well, I'd still
was right. Expectations were low, and you could have been like, oh, my take was right, but now you're like, oh, my take was wrong, but hey, my team fucking won, so suck it.
Sadly for you, though, I was 100% correct about saying the Jets were going to beat the Falcons.
And I wasn't really taking into consideration, I thought they would probably play Calvin Ridley a little more, although with as much talk that has surrounded him and how well he's doing, I can totally understand them not wanting to play him very much, but it was basically a bunch of people that might not even be on the team once the regular season hits versus the starting Jets. Lineup of the Jets. And so I really didn't take that into much consideration. Sam Darnold got out there, and he did very well, so I was kind of impressed by that. I could definitely see the Jets not, even though they're kind of probably the
worst team in the league
under the Browns this year, they've kind of borderlined each other, but I could actually see I don't think the Jets will go unvictorious like the Browns had.
Yeah, I think they'll probably pull one out. I can see them pulling off somewhere. A game
somewhere.
Yeah.
And so, especially they got people like Anderson, and if, we're not really sure if Darnold's going to be the starting quarterback, but he definitely looked like he was playing quite well.
Right.
So the Jets might surprise us in a game or two this season, but no, the biggest thing I noticed was I really wasn't excited with the offensive play calling that the Falcons were doing, but at the same time I really had to like stop and think and realize, you know, these are a lot of people that probably won't even be on the starting rotation. But for the defense of them, they had the one guy that ended up with 11 tackles.
Nope, that's good. He's racking them up, bringing them down.
Yeah, DeMonte Kazee was his name. He ended up having 11 tackles, 9 of which were solo, so that's definitely a good sight to see on the defense to go along with some of those guys like Keanu Neal, Trufant, Vic Beasley Jr. They're going to have a pretty solid defense this year, I think, and I'm excited to see it, as well as Calvin Ridley, who's another young guy that I think could explode this year.
I think the biggest surprise that came out of the preseason this week was actually that the Ravens shit stomped the Rams 33-7 after they did very poorly against the Bears in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I definitely noticed that too. We were both kind of shocked on that, but same thing, they didn't even play their starting quarterback at all, and you didn't see any of their big name wide receivers or Todd Gurley in the game. So it's very similar to the Falcons versus the Jets scenario, where it was basically a bunch of guys that probably some of which might not even have a future in the NFL versus potentially starting players for the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm. The biggest play I saw in preseason though was Juju Smith-Schuster from the Steelers getting like an 80-yard bomb. Like, he was on the field for like the first drive and they were talking about him like, oh, he might be someone good, and then he gets an 80-yard touchdown and they're like, all right, we're gonna pull him from the game now because he's really valuable apparently.
Yeah,
and they just pulled him out and didn't play him for the rest of the game.
Like, all right, great job, just go sit the fuck down.
Yeah.
No, I've definitely seen a lot of Juju lately. He's somebody I'm excited to see develop. He's been a big name in the esports world. He was one of the people that jumped on the Fortnite stream with Ninja and Drake when he blew up, and he goes to a lot of like pro-am events in the esports community, and so he's definitely like a gamer, so I'm cool with that, and he definitely has one of those fun personalities that you like to see a player on the field have, so I'm excited to see him once the season kicks off.
Mm-hmm. And the highest points in a game this week was actually last night with the Vikings and the Broncos.
Yeah, they were, that was
60 points in the game.
Yeah, that was definitely where some of these
games, 70 points, my bad,
some of these were like kind of defensive stalemates, or you had teams like the Rams and the Falcons where you had, you know, very low quality players versus potentially mm-hmm. starting players. This was just like a backup war between the Falcons or the Vikings
and the Broncos.
Yeah, and so it was actually, I watched the beginning of that, and I actually caught a little bit of the end at the Raiders Lions, and they were both looked like they were exciting games.
Good.
Any other stories that jumped out during the preseason games aside from the play on the field?
Yes. Donald Trump was tweeting on Twitter, which is what you do on Twitter, you tweet.
Yeah, and it's not surprising to see Donald Trump
on there. Yeah, he's on there pretty frequently for
big
a guy.
Big Twitter guy.
Oh, big Twitter guy. For a guy who's supposed to be running the country, he's doing a lot on Twitter, which is extremely odd to me. But anywho, he went ahead and attacked on the kneeling during the anthem again, because people were kneeling during the anthem.
Yeah, which is still another year, another thing, talking about something that doesn't have anything to do with the game.
Right, and that's exactly what I was going to say. I don't give a fuck what you do for the national anthem. If you stay in the locker room or come out on the field or kneel or stand, it's a free goddamn country. You can do whatever you want. And the fact that somebody's pointing it out and being like, mur, 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 fuck you, it's football. I just want to see people hit each other and score touchdowns.
I feel like a lot of the people that are talking about it aren't even people that watch football. They just want something to
bitch about. They want something on the sport because it's such a violent game, something they can pick out and just harass the NFL for doing.
Which, I mean, they're literally going above and beyond to fix the violence, which I don't even like. I think it should just be a bunch of guys killing each other out there.
I think you sign up for something like that, you know what you're getting. Just like the military, what are they going to try and do, make war less violent?
Yeah, I mean, it's not to compare a football game to war.
No, but I'm talking about, you know what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
That's what you're going and doing.
I feel like the football players, and I understand that, you know, owners want to protect the players because they're investing in these players and paying them millions and millions of dollars. I understand these football players might potentially want a life after the game, but you can't literally turn this into a fairy tale league.
Ball is life. Yeah.
Ball is life. there's only so much you can do to protect the people, and I feel like they have done a lot. But at the same time, some of these things, as we kind of saw last year, was one of the record years for lower extremity injuries.
Yep.
Because people are avoiding the head so much, now they're breaking knees and AC. I mean, every week somebody tears an ACL.
Yep.
And so I feel like we focus so much on protecting the head that it's created a game where people – I mean, I don't know if I've ever had a concussion or not based on how fucking dumb I am. I wouldn't doubt it. But I would rather sustain a concussion and have to go through, you know, a concussion protocol and maybe have a few games off than literally tear my ACL or break my leg.
And maybe never be able to run
or walk again.
Yeah. Even though nowadays you see people return from ACL tears relatively fine.
Even in 9 months.
Right.
And so, but they're also freak athletes. Somebody like you or me that works on our knees a lot, sucking some dick.
Tearing ACL, that's probably in a career.
That could potentially be a career ender for some people in a construction-based career.
And yeah, that's pretty much everything I had on preseason. Did you have any, like, stories outside of the field?
I was noticing some stories that I saw for a while. One of them was Kamara, which exploded last year. Definitely on my fantasy projections. Somebody that I'd love to pick up says that they would have beat the Eagles if they would have gotten to play them rather than Minnesota.
Getting the Minnesota Miracle.
Yeah, the Minnesota Miracle is the thing that Stephon Diggs just had a crazy reception. A young guy for the Saints made a bad call on the tackle and allowed Diggs to score the touchdown to win the game. And it, you know, eventually led to the Eagles beating Minnesota after the hype. One of those things, I almost think Minnesota celebrated a little too much on that game.
It got them so high, they couldn't come back down to earth for the next week's game.
Yeah, and Kamara pretty much just had an interview filled with fucks and you know what I'm sayings, where he pretty much just said, you know, it was one of those games where he literally did everything he could and shit still didn't go that way. He said that they were down 17 at halftime and came all the way back, and then that happens, and he's like, I literally fucking did. We dug ourselves out of a hole just for somebody to fucking Sparta kick us back into it by the time we got out of it.
Which is a really good way to put it.
Yeah, which is how I'm putting it right
now. Yeah, no, that's a really good way of putting it, because they did. They clawed their way back in, and then it's just fucking nope.
Not today. And so he referred to how they basically beat the shit out of the Eagles during the regular season and felt like if they would have been able to beat Minnesota and come back, then they would have just been able – they would have been at a high two, but they wouldn't have let it take them out of the game like it did Minnesota, and they felt they would have went back and beat them. Also, I got Aaron Rodgers did a little interview where he is pretty fucking pissed at his teammates, especially the young wide receivers. He said as he gets older, he feels like he's getting a little grumpier and not putting up with much shit. He turns 35 years old this year, and he said he recently noticed that it was one of the worst card seasons that he had ever had. He doesn't know how he can make it any simpler than that, basically just referring to he noticed over the past few years he's never seen a group of young receivers and the rest of the team in general just put forth such a lackluster effort to improve. He threw out a few names individually, D'Angelo Yancey and a few others that he said he did see some improvements for, but he said the team all in all was just not putting very much effort into their practices.
Sounds like Aaron Rodgers wants to leave Green Bay? Trouble in paradise?
I don't know if he wants to leave Green Bay, but he's basically like pulling the veteran dad card. Like, you guys better get your fucking head out of your asses, because I mean, maybe it might be one of those things where I'm not going to, kind of like LeBron leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right.
Where he's like, I'm not going to sit here and be the all-star that I am when you guys aren't even fucking trying.
Right.
And so,
or maybe he's just trying to get like the word out there to maybe pull someone to Green Bay saying, hey, somebody come here and show these receivers how shit gets done, or we need someone here to boost our team morale.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to pulling somebody, that might be exactly what Landry's trying to do for the Browns. As he said, his good friend Odell Beckham Jr., don't know if you've ever heard of him, apparently isn't I guess he's down with the thought of playing in Cleveland for the Browns.
Okay.
So can you imagine how hyped Cleveland would be? You lose LeBron James and get Odell Beckham Jr. I could see him putting up an ODB poster in the middle of Cleveland.
Well, if they did, they better put a Landry went up there too.
Yeah.
Because Landry's pulling them in. They both went to LSU together. They played before in college.
Yeah, and that's what he kind of talked about. They've maintained that relationship throughout their pro careers. And he basically said that, you know, if the team was able to make something like this happen, would you be into it? And he basically said that ODB said he definitely would be up for it. Like you said, they were teammates at LSU. The Giants and Beckham were negotiating their contract extension. I don't believe they've actually come to an agreement yet. Three-time Pro Bowlers in the final year of his rookie deal. The Browns do still have some money to spend. That would be one of the teams that you see like a complete
180.
And, you know, if what we saw from Baker Mayfield in the preseason, on top of having Tyrod Taylor there, you know, if you added ODB to that, you know, and Des Bryant is still talking about having conversations with the
Browns. That would be a crazy receiving. Can you imagine if you had
Landry, Gordon, Des Bryant, and Odell Beckham Jr. on one team together?
Who are you going to guard?
And you have Tyrod Taylor back there who can even run a little bit if he wanted to.
Yeah.
And so you would have a pretty insane squad there in Cleveland if their defense. I mean,
you'd probably see Duke Johnson Jr. blow up.
Oh yeah, because between Duke Johnson and Tyrod Taylor, they would both have. I mean, that would probably be one of the scariest offenses to face. Now they would have to have their defense definitely do everything that they could to maintain those games, but it might be one of those scenarios, even like the Falcons were a couple years ago, where the defense still had some strugglings. It would be one of those offense that it doesn't matter if you can score, because the Browns will fucking score. And so I thought that was very interesting. I'm sure it's just a rumor.
Do you think Odell's going to drop down on his money price maybe to go play with his buddy from LSU over there at Cleveland? Or do you think that the only reason he's considering it is because Cleveland is one of the teams left that have enough money to possibly play Odell to go there?
I think if the Browns offered him the money that he wants, he would. But for some reason, I feel like New York and him aren't going to come to a terms where I don't think Odell really wants to leave New York. He just wants the money that he feels he's owed right now. But that pretty much wraps up all I have on the NFL and preseason news. Is that pretty much where you were at with it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so right now the PGA is in St. Louis at the Belmont Country Club, one of the biggest events to come to St. Louis in a long time. Some are saying since the World Fair. Do you have any updates on that? It ended today, correctly?
Yes, it ended. No, it ended yesterday. It
ended yesterday. I thought there was still a little bit going on today.
No, it ended yesterday. Tiger hit a negative 8, and he ended at 69 total.
Nice.
Nice. Real nice. You think he did that on purpose?
I don't know, but some people were always watching his post-game interview where he was talking about it, and they were saying he kind of set up a joke about that, where he's like, was able to pull out a 69 today, so that was nice.
And then he kind of just kept
going with it. Yeah, like, he's just Tiger, like, still got it.
Yeah, that fucking sneaky dog. I still think what we were saying,
let's go,
about Tiger just being like shitty on purpose for this whole Phil Mickelson thing.
Yeah.
I think that's actually true.
You think he's hustling him? He's like, I might not win this.
Let's go.
But I'm totally going to play this, and once it comes time for us to get into the big money match.
Yeah, he's going to pull he's going to be Yeater Heater sending him into the hole.
Oh, it's going to be unreal. I think I'm really excited that I'm glad I've gotten into golf recently, because I'll definitely be getting into it. It's actually going to be around Thanksgiving time, so that'll be a fun thing to watch around then.
What we should have done, since the PGA actually did come to St. Louis, we probably should have went. We had a chance to win tickets, and we actually knew somebody selling a set of tickets, but us being bro guys, we just were lazy and didn't buy them.
We're trying to save our money to buy some equipment and improve the podcast for you. So it's because of you listeners that we didn't get to go to the PGA. So fuck you guys, but we love you guys.
I definitely think I'm better looking than any of the golfers that were on that course, so therefore I would have been the best golfer there, showing up in my gear.
Based on how you play golf, that probably would have been true.
Yeah.
But you're kind of terrible. Mm. But your looks make up for it.
Yeah.
So you would have been on there. You would have been in the running.
As long as you're the best looking golfer there, you're going to be at least in the top 5.
Because then people will be like, if you look like shit and you go play like shit, people are going to think you're shit. But if you look like fucking like you're legit and you're just not playing well, and you could just be like, man, this is the worst day I've had in a while.
Rough day.
People will just be like, man,
the course is winning.
Yeah, and like, man, I'll have to see that guy on a good day because he looks good. There's no way he's this bad.
Right, and that's exactly what I do. Koepka won with a negative 13, which is a lot negative. Holy fuck. And then right behind him in second place was Woodland, and he got a negative 10, which Woodland Woodland was actually leading the day before with a negative 10. He obviously just parred the rest of the next day.
So yeah, they said he was surging in the first round, but then Tiger must have sucked the talent out of him because Tiger came back a lot in that
second day. Yeah, no, he was a negative 3, I believe, the day before. On day 2, he was a negative 3, and at the end of day 3, he was a negative 8.
Yeah,
so he definitely was trying to pull his way back up into the surges.
Yeah. And so who ended up winning it overall?
Koepka, I believe is how you pronounce his name. I don't want to be a dick and say something wrong, so
yeah. We don't really kill. We don't really care. We were referring to a guy from France called Kill Your Baby, so.
Oh, yeah. Koepka.
So next I have a little bit of an update for the Blues right now. Tarasenko is ready for the season after shoulder surgery. I'm currently working on some of the suites at the Enterprise Center, and they are starting to set up the rink, so it's getting more and more exciting as you see it get further and further
along. Are you getting goosebumps as you're watching them put it in?
Yeah, a few times we've actually been working and they'll test the horns, and once they test the goal horns, all the like forklift drivers and stuff will do the
that's cool.
So it gets pretty cool and everybody starts yelling. But I'm pretty excited for it. Vladimir Tarasenko obviously suffered a dislocated shoulder in the must-win season finale that they didn't win against the Avalanche, which it wouldn't really matter because he dislocated his shoulder, and as poorly as we were playing without him, we surely would have got stomped on the next round. But he has been cleared to skate. He won't be reevaluated till September when training camp gets ready to start. He said that he is just following the instructions that his doctors are giving him. The last 3.5 months were pretty tough, but both mentally and physically. He's gone through a lot of rehab, and it was the longest break between seasons for him. Last season was a down year for Tarasenko, but he still led the team with 33 goals and finished second with 66 points. It was his lowest goal total since the 2013-14 season, despite having a career high with 306 shots. But the Blues have made a lot of additions this year with Ryan O'Reilly, David Perron coming back, Tyler Bozak, and Patrick Maroon.
I am so excited to see that team on the ice.
I know. And they got Fabry coming back. So I think we're going to see a lot of adjusted lines. Tarasenko is going to have people that he can create plays for and finish the shots, because I feel like last season you had Schwartz that was making amazing plays. We ended up losing Stastny, who's now on the Golden Knights. So that's cool to see him back with Ryan Reeves. But I feel like this year the Blues have potential to do a lot. This is the most talented team we've seen them put on the ice in the past few years, and you know, it's kind of a reoccurring thing for Blues to get their hopes up and eventually get them crushed by postseason. But playing into that narrative, I am extremely excited for this season, and I feel like this is a year that we could possibly go really far into the postseason.
Let's bring that cup.
Let's get that cup in STL. Does that pretty much wrap up what you have for sports, or did you have a little bit of NHL tidbits?
I do have a little bit of NHL. Wayne Gretzky is being an asshole because he's going to China in Beijing, being a really nice guy, actually, and opening up a camp for hockey before the preseason of the NHL, trying to make the sport of hockey more popular in China, and I don't want that.
Okay, what is that?
Because I want America, us here in the U.S. of goddamn A, to be bringing home that gold every year. I don't want Wayne Gretzky, the greatest NHL player of all time, to go over to China and be like, hey, boys, let me show you how to play here some hockey.
We already have enough issues with Canada and Russia.
That's exactly what I have down here. Do you think in the future you're going to see a high Asian like spike in the NHL? And will they have a mathematical advantage over the Russian and Canadian heavy NHL?
They are really good at math. They may be able to just, in their head, do some geometry real quick and just be doing like off-the-board shots and crazy shit. Or just off-the-posts, like crazy shots.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I am not a fan, Gretzky. I want you to listen here. I want you to go ahead. I want you to turn that plane around. And I want you to go ahead and put your little system here in America so we can beat those Canadian candy asses.
How about instead of going to China, you come back here to STL and help us win a fucking cup?
Yeah, do that. Come coach us. Yeah. Come be our coach.
Something you weren't able to get done here. We respect you coming here for a year or two, but let's get jersey sales. Yeah, really helped with that, but we want to win a cup, so come back over here and help us out. So that's pretty much all we got for the sports section of this week's podcast. We're going to go ahead and jump into some segments, starting off with our wow story of the week.
Whoa!
Wow.
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 Wow, I love the smell of those goofy clouds, bro. Where did you get that?
Because I got these over at the vape store.
You talking about the one in Lake St. Louis?
Yeah, the one at 1407 Lake St. Louis Boulevard. Got a new store opening up. Actually, it's open. Opened up Saturday.
Yeah.
So when you guys are listening to this Monday, you'll be able to head over to Mexico Road in O'Fallon and check out their new location. These guys have awesome tanks. They have awesome rigs. All the best juices in stock from all different milligrams of nicotine, whether you're trying to quit smoking, get into vaping. We did it to quit chewing, and it was an awesome alternative. They will hook you guys up, and soon we will have a discount code that we'll be able to give you guys to get an awesome little discount. Be sure and let them know the guys from Inside the Pocket sent you until then, and it will help us help you.
Yeah, you help us, we help you, we get you discounts, you make us money.
Yeah, for sure. So, speaking of wow, this is our wow story of the week segment. Austin, what kind of crazy ass shit do you get to talk about?
Well, the crazy thing I have is in that state where crazy shit happens constantly.
Florida?
Florida, exactly. A woman in Florida was fleeing the police when she was captured by a herd of cows.
Some state patrolman cows?
I don't know, but they were just normal cows. They were in a pasture. This woman was in a hypersuit chase. She crashes her car in a ditch, flees her car, thinking, I'm going to run through this field. Happy day, happy da. Not a chance. There's a line of fucking cows right there waiting for her. So then they chased her through the field.
The cows chased
this woman through the field. They didn't, like, attack her, but they were just following her. And this happened at night. So when the helicopter was flying over with the camera, the night vision, trying to find her, they just saw the herd of cows moving. So they followed that, and it eventually led them to her because the cows were following the lady through the field. So the cops just drove around and blocked her off. And then whenever she got to the end of the fence, the cows kept getting closer and closer and closer, so she either had to deal with the cows or go to the police.
I would have jumped on one of those cows.
I wouldn't.
And they wouldn't have seen it through the night vision.
Ooh,
so she could have just held on to one and tried to, like, get it to, like, break off from the herd or something.
Yeah, they might have had suspicions with the cow. I would have just stayed on the cow. So, like, when the...
Just not said a word.
Yeah,
and the cows would have had to check every one of those cows.
Yeah, and you could, like, maybe, like, go to the ground after that and, like, army crawl your way through as long as that helicopter wasn't on you. But all I'm saying is she's one coward to try and run away from the cops like that. But now that she's out of the field, I'm sure she'll bovine.
That was a terrible way to end that.
I was really proud of those jokes.
I'm not happy about
that. I was really proud of those. What did you have on your wow story?
So my wow story was from the Heartland in Indiana. A woman planned a rape fantasy attack in a park and later tried to deny the whole thing and get the guy in a lot of trouble. Apparently an Indiana woman was arrested last Tuesday after she reportedly met with a teen at State Park, which if this guy's not 18, then that should be a crime in itself.
It's a statutory rape.
Yeah. To fulfill a rape fantasy and falsely told police that she was attacked. Maggie Wallace, 19, of Pendleton, was arrested for falsely informing. She reported to the police that she was attacked at Mound State Park on July 3rd. She claimed that she was running through the park around 12:45 p.m. when a suspicious male knocked her to the ground and groped her. After the alleged attack, a 17-year-old male told the police he met Wallace on Whisper, which is an anonymous social networking app, which to me that just sounds like an app that, like, a rape me app. Like, it's just straight up anonymously, hey, I don't know you, let's meet up.
I know what Whisper is because people post it on Facebook all the time, and it's like where you can have a picture of you and somebody messages you and it's completely anonymous, and like a lot of the people on there will like find someone and just be like, let me see those cheeks slap, cuzzy. And, like,
just
that's
wild.
It. Yeah, just weird-ass shit people say to people.
Well, apparently he responded to her post in which she said she was looking for someone to fill this rape fantasy. And she initially denied the teen's version of the story, saying that, no, this guy just came up and raped me. I never, like, put this out there for somebody to do. But I guess he saved the screenshots of the conversation, presented them to the police, and then she got arrested for falsely setting this whole thing up.
Now, let me go ahead and get into this. Whisper is a honestly put, maybe she put on there that she would be interested in having a rape fantasy, and somebody saw it and went, I'm gonna go rape this girl now.
Ooh.
And used it as a backup plan if he got caught. Like, no, she said she wanted this.
And then she was like, yeah, but I never actually talked to somebody
yeah.
and set this up. And he could be like,
yo, I got where you saying you wanted it to happen.
So is that gonna be a thing now where women say, like, we want to be raped, and then a rapist is like, oh, perfect, I can do this and not go to jail, and then all of a sudden it happens, and then the girls are like, oh, I guess I didn't want this because rape kind of sucks.
Yeah, rape really isn't as fun as I really anticipated it to be, you know, forcefully being penetrated. Really not up there on the things that I wanted to do this evening.
So I thought that was a little wild. Not only that, but, like, this is a whole nother thing where, you know, I've heard of scenarios where women do just straight up create a fake rape story.
Yeah, and I've seen that.
For a guy, but this is like, I'm surprised this guy got off, because there's guys that get falsely accused of it that literally did nothing and they go to jail. And this dude straight up did do something, but dude was smart. Screenshot those conversations, guys, because you never know when a chick is trying to just, like, set you. Maybe her real fantasy was, I want to get innocent guys arrested for fucked up shit.
Ooh, yeah, so she put it out there anonymously, hoping somebody would actually follow through with it.
And then she was hoping that, yeah, and when this is all said and done, I'm just going to say that this guy did it and get him arrested.
Hoping that she would make an international news story, and that's exactly what happened.
And then a well-renowned podcast would talk about it, and now we're just spreading her claim to fame. But that's kind of good, because now she can't do this to anybody else. Maggie Wallace. If you see Maggie Wallace on your fucking Whisper app, don't talk to that bitch.
Or rape her.
She's into it.
She might be into that.
Yeah, but then she's going to call the police. It's just going to be a big hassle.
Yeah, really, if you just want to rape, don't.
Yeah, typically, like, if the idea of rape ever goes through your head, you should maybe just, like, go to a doctor and find out what the fuck is wrong with you.
I suggest masturbating before you follow through with a rape, because 99% of the time that will keep you from raping someone.
Possibly. Oh, they say a lot of the times, though, it's just about, like, a dominant thing. It's not even about, like, wanting to have sex.
Well, then buy you a nice stuffed animal you can dominate.
Yeah, buy you a little. We used to fucking beat the shit out of a stuffed monkey when we were little.
Yeah, we did. And then we raped it.
And we, but we didn't rape any people.
No, we didn't rape any people.
I don't know. The monkey always seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah. It's not my fault. He was always giving me such soft hugs.
Yeah, he was just so soft and whatever. But yeah. rape is not a good thing.
No, we are not a pro-rape podcast.
Yeah, so I feel bad for that guy for having a fucked up story presented about him. Another type of people that get fucked up stories presented about them all the time are presidents. So we're going to go ahead and jump to a segment where we talk about what we would do if we were the president of the United States.
If I was president, I'd get elected on Friday, assassinated on Saturday, buried on Sunday. If I was president, if I was president.
All right, Austin, if you were president, what kind of fucked up shit would you do?
I would have the fattest party ever, and I would call it the White House Bash. And what I would do is I would have it DJ'd by the most famous DJs, and I would bring in all the celebrities that wanted to come, but it would be a party for the people, so anyone could come. I would allow any people to come to the lawn of the White House and inside the White House. Obviously, we would do a lot of stuff to make sure things didn't get stolen. We'd have a lot of security in the White House itself.
I was going
to
say, I feel like security people are gonna fucking hate you.
That's fine. Though, hey, they gotta do it. I'm giving them something to do. Earn your money. But I want it to kind of be like a giant Great Gatsby party where everybody's like dressed up real nice, but I just want everybody to get shit tanked on the White House, because it would be an awesome story to be like, yeah, I threw up on the lawn of the White House from drinking too many vodka Red Bulls.
Yeah, and then me and the president did a cake stand.
Yeah, would that not be the best president you had ever seen? He's like walking up and he's like, welcome to the house, here's some beer, let's get fucked. And then I just walk away, like in a whole group, I just slide over like a keg and I'll be like, that's your First Amendment, and then walk away. I don't even have to make sense.
I could just see, like, during that time, another country finds out about it and they're like, now's the time, and they attack, and then all the army people come up and they were like, President, what should we do? And you're just like, let's fuck them up. And then you're like taking your shirt off to like fist fight them, and they're like, no, sir, there's nukes on the way. Fuck.
I'm like, well, we still got a couple kegs to finish before we got to go get in some boxes.
Yeah.
Help.
Help. And so you would definitely need to appoint a DP. A designated president while you're
fucked. That'd be the vice president.
Yeah.
I'd let the vice president run that shit.
But then he's just going to sit there and be like, man, I wish I could have went to the party.
Well, maybe you should win president then, ooh, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'd be like, next year, motherfucker, you can be president.
Yeah, and I'll hang out.
You can throw the party.
Yeah. That's exactly what I want to do. I want it to be just everyone coming and having a good fucking time, because that story would be legendary. Like, and I'd want it televised. I want it to be like the red carpet, where like people will come in and are taking videos and interviews and shit like that, and just make it a whole thing, a whole publicity thing.
And there's President Robinson doing a line of cocaine off Beyonce's asshole.
Yeah, and I would shut DC the fuck down. I would have so many people there. It would be such a fucking fun time. There'd be people doing burnouts right in front of the White House with their Corvettes and shit, just having a grand old time, and I'd just be fucking lighting a nice fatty, like, what up, America? Let's just fucking go. Just playing the most
American music you could
imagine.
Oh,
yeah. It would be nothing but, like,
Miley Cyrus would be up there performing.
Yeah, I have Miley Cyrus there for sure.
Get some Team America up there.
Yeah.
And get some fucking Skinner.
Yeah, who is the guy who just died? Tom Petty would just be playing all fucking night. Tom Petty would be just playing on blares for cities wide.
Sounds pretty American.
Absolutely.
All right, well, if I were president, mine's going to go a little more into helping people. Yours is helping people. Have a good fucking time. We talked about this the other night. It started off as something we were potentially going to do for Debatable, but then I decided to move it to what I would do if I were president. I would create more wilderness reserves, like take large areas of unused wilderness and basically create these sanctuaries for homeless people to live at, where they can live off the land, give them a little bit of supplies like fishing and hunting gear, and then they can build their own shit and just have a little community that lives out in the woods rather than just taking up the streets and begging for everything and stuff like that. We kind of talked about it.
You're essentially turning homeless people into an Amish community.
Yeah, basically that. Or not even really Amish. I mean, eventually...
They could use technology, but what I'm saying is you're just putting them in an area, putting them kind of like in their own little
town. They're going to be mountain men. They're going to live off the land like old school fucking manly men and ladies.
Yeah, but they're homeless. You think they're going to work that hard? They didn't work too hard and ended up homeless. You think they're really going to go ahead
and get the best effort? Well, there's some people that literally are just born into homelessness.
Right, some of them. Or there's
people that literally have fucked up shit happen to them, and they're like, oh, I just got fucked. And the type of people that are like, yeah, if I fucking had something to do, I would. But, you know, that's one thing we were talking about was, why don't a lot more homeless people just literally move out to the middle of nowhere and start living off the land? Like, save up some supplies and get yourself a backpack and just start hiking in the woods and try to set yourself up to live out there. Fucking go to Cabela's and take a fuck camping class or something.
Yeah.
And that led to another thing, if I were president, I would set up a thing for homeless people. It would be a program, and it would be basically bum fights again, where you would set it up and you'd televise it to raise money and sell tickets, and you could get, you know, homeless people that felt that they were, you know, battle compliant, you know, good at fighting, and it would basically be a winner makes money to help them get on their feet, and the loser dies.
So you're bringing back gladiators.
It's modern day gladiators, basically, and it would just be bum fights. It would be in a cage. It would be like UFC rules, and they would just get in there and they'd fight, and the winner would live and the loser would die, and that's, you're just, you know, solving homelessness one knockout at a time.
So you're making essentially more Amish communities and also having the strong ones beat the fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
That sounds like you're really helping.
Yeah. I'm giving options, you know. You can create... And the people that go out and live in the wilderness could eventually, like, you know, we're in the modern age where, you know, they get good at this. They could basically become, like, travel guides eventually. And then, boom, now you're making money being a travel guide or teaching other people how to live off the land. Some people do that shit for a hobby.
Yeah.
You know? And so if he could be like, yeah, I fucking joined this program when the great President Gavin Robinson took over and he gave us this land and I've been living out here for 15 years, I will now teach you, like, survival techniques if you... And then, you know, people set up shit like that. And then you could even have things like that where people want to get away for a weekend and live like fucking weirdos, and it'd be like Airbnb, but you fly out and you pay these people to live in their little fucking colony for a while, and they teach you how to live off the land.
Huh. And I know there are,
because that's one thing, sorry to interrupt, but that's one thing,
Dick,
a lot of us millennials struggle to do. There's a lot of people our age that if, like, a fucking plane crashed in the woods and they survived and they weren't terribly fucked up, they couldn't just, like, hunt down an animal or set up a fire or find shelter or get a fish or filter water. A lot of shit they wouldn't be able to figure out to survive. And luckily we had a dad that was basically Daniel fucking Boone who taught us a lot of that shit. But I feel like there's a lot of people our age that couldn't survive a week in the woods.
No, and I actually thought about one time just having like a little thing between me and you we could do and just not use our phone for a whole week. Or like any electronics, we can't like play Xbox
in basic or in phone. Basic like being in basic everyday life, that would be too hard for me probably.
Yeah,
but like if it was like, okay, you and I are gonna go out to the woods for a week and see who lasts the longest, I'd be down for that.
Oh, we could try something like that. We could probably go up to the lot and do that. That'd be a fun one. I'd like to try
just
that.
Go out into the woods of Wayne has like a couple hundred acres.
And if something went wrong, we are right there. We could get help.
Or we could go out to Monkey Mountain and see if we survive.
I don't think we'd make it. Don't think we'd make it two nights there.
Monkey Mountain, that might be my next conspiracy theory I'm going to go into a little bit more. For people that don't know, in Missouri, there's an area down south called Monkey Mountain. It's basically an area that's a lot like the movie Hills Have Eyes, where there's a lot of inbred weird people living out of like fucking old school buses and shit.
Man, she's so inbred, she in a sandwich.
So that's pretty much all we have for what we would do if we were president. Next, we're going to jump into a conspiracy theory. All right, so this week I struggled a little bit finding my conspiracy theory, so I decided to let Austin take the spotlight in this one. Austin, what kind of conspiracy theory did you find this week?
My conspiracy theory is that ALS Ice Bucket Challenge was actually a satanic ritual that has been passed down by Lucifer himself.
How did he give us this message?
I will show you. So he went ahead and reached out to the elites, like to...
The Illuminati?
Yeah, the Illuminati, famous people and stuff like that. And it's kind of a test to see how much people will do just by seeing people above them do it. So it started to show how stupid humanity really was and how easily they are to be manipulated to do things that
are stupid. It's kind of like all these other challenges, like the... Oh, what was that one? The mannequin challenge and the Kiki challenge and planking back in the day.
But the reason this one is considered satanic is because it's directly mocking baptism. So instead of being dunked into a thing of water, water is being dunked on you. So it's kind of just a slap in the face to having that happen. And they just wanted to see how many people that they could actually get throw really cold water, essentially punishing themselves. And a lot of people were hurt during it, where like somebody dropped the bucket and landed on their head and fucked their head up, or people slip and fall and broke their arm on concrete or anything like that. And they all said that it was in the name of ALS, so it was a charity, so it should have been a good thing. No, sir. All a cover-up. That's actually to help fund satanic groups underground. Ooh. So that you think you're helping a cause, but you're really not. You're just paying satanic people to watch you.
So the ALS Foundation was all salute Lucifer, and it's all just a cover-up for a disease, and they take the money and they filter it into satanic.
ALS is all Lucifer supporters.
Nice.
That's what it is. That's what that stands for. It's not a disease. I don't think. I actually don't know what ALS is.
It's actually a progressive neurodegenerative disease that affects the nerve cells in the brain and the spinal cord, you fucking dummy.
Hmm. Well.
But now you can say you learned something.
I did. This is an informative podcast.
Yeah, we're big learning guys.
But yes, it's to see how far you can get people to do stuff. An ice bucket now, maybe jump off a building next, or rob a bank later, or start up a small suicide cult and have a lockout shootout with the police all in the name of Satan.
They did have that one a while back where people were doing, like, cut yourself for Bieber.
Yeah.
Social media can manipulate a lot of people. It's really like some Black Mirror type shit.
Oh, yeah. And they believe Lady Gaga is a Satanist and is actually one of the big developers of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge and it becoming a satanic ritual, because she actually does it. And in it, she's sitting in a very, very black chair in nothing but black clothing with black lipstick on. And she pours what looks like a cauldron full of ice water onto her, and she makes no reaction. She pours it on herself, doesn't move, and then just sets the bucket down, and it goes away.
It's real cryptic.
Yeah, it's real cryptic looking. So they assume that Lady Gaga is actually Satan, I guess, Satanist.
Her and Taylor Swift, that's the clone of that Satanist
lady. Oh, yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge was basically people baptizing themselves in the name of Satan and sending a bunch of money to Satanists. to take over the world.
And seeing how easily that they can manipulate people to do things that they want them to do.
So thanks, dummies.
Yeah, thanks for doing all these stupid fucking things that you see elite upper echelon people doing. Be your own person. Don't be a sheep.
Be your own person, even if it's a fucked up person, like the type of people that send weird ass messages in our next segment, Tinder Talks.
Yikes. Man, you know what I think would help some of these people on our Tinder Talks?
What?
If they went somewhere and just had a nice drink. Somewhere like
Barrels. Like Barrels Tap House and Grill in O'Fallon?
Yeah.
Like 6726 Highway in O'Fallon, Missouri?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they got like 109 beers on tap, amazing new food items, and some of the coolest people you'll ever meet inside of a bar. I'd say I'd agree with you. And while those people were there, they could definitely freshen up their wardrobe by buying an Inside the Pocket t-shirt while they were there. And they would look fresh as fuck, have a few drinks to just loosen the lips.
Calm those nerves.
Yeah, and then you'd be having a lot better luck with your Tinder game. But the people that we're about to talk about, some of them do have a little bit good of a Tinder game. We're finding some of these online since we are still waiting for you awesome guys to send us some. So InsideThePocketPodcast@gmail.com. Send us your screenshots. You can hit us up on our Facebook page, our Instagram, our Twitter. There's plenty of places for you guys to send this stuff. If you're a dude that's listening, hit up girls, all the girls that you know. Tell them to follow the pages and send some of their messages here so we can talk about it. We'll shout them out or we'll keep them anonymous.
We really need your help.
We need your help, guys.
Please, please. Just send us some stuff.
Come on.
We rely on you.
Yeah.
You're a part of this, too.
Yeah, you guys help us provide amazing entertainment for you by providing us some fucked up messages from your Tinder. Or Facebook Messenger, or Plenty of Fish, or Whisper if you're into rape fantasies. And so the first one we got today is, I'm naming all these that we find. This is Tasty Taste. So the guy hits this girl up with a damn, you're beautiful. And so she sends the little bashful face and thanks him for the nice compliment. And he goes right back, comes right back with, what's the chances of my tasty tasting of my, oh, of me? So he hits her up with, what are the chances of me tasty tasting those lips and sliding my hard dick inside of you? So he opened up with a nice compliment, simple opener, nice. And then got the bashful face and then went right in for the kill.
Yeah, now let me just tell you guys, always, always smooth move to open up with the word damn. That's damn. Always a good thing to just say right off the get-go.
Because you're not just giving him a compliment, you're letting him know that you're taken aback.
Yeah.
You have no choice but to compliment.
He took a step back before he wrote that. He literally went, oh, damn, you're beautiful. You got to look at it like there's a comma or a period there. As if they actually said damn.
Yeah, that wasn't just a like, oh, this girl's good looking. That was a like, they took their phone, they had to back up a little bit and look at it again, check a couple other pictures and be like, wow, she really is that beautiful.
Yeah, no, she's golden. And I want to slide my hard dick in her and tasty taste those lips.
Do you think, I'm assuming he's talking about some kind of lingus right there.
I think he is talking about some kind of lingus. Or maybe he saw it in some of her pictures that maybe she's using a flavored lip gloss. And he's just really interested to see what they taste like.
Just taste some of it?
Yeah, just a lick on the lips. Not even like a kiss. Just licking the lips.
So he goes up, licks her lips, and then slides his hard dick in there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next one we got here is Taylor. So Taylor hits him up with a, hey, how's it going?
No response.
No response. And then, incidentally, this was done on 9/11.
Oh.
And so, obviously, he was like, okay, maybe she's just mourning. You know, this is a day of remembrance.
Right.
So the next day he hits her up and just says, I think the good thing about having sex with someone who has the same name as you is that we can both yell out the same name at the same time. So that leads me to ask, would you have sex with somebody with the same name as you?
Well, no, because my name's Austin, and if I'm fucking someone with the name Austin, it's probably another dude.
But there's girls named Austin. I've actually met a girl named Gammon before.
Yeah, but I've never met a girl named Austin.
I feel like I've heard of it.
I don't think that's a girl's name. It's not like a double-sided one like Sam or Taylor.
But say you had a name like that and you would.
I would totally. I wouldn't yell it like that. Like that sentence is someone who's like really, what is it when you're full of yourself?
Like neurotic?
Yeah, he's very neurotic. He just wants to say his name when he's fucking. That's what he wants. He's not trying to say your name. He wants to say his name.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor, you're so good, but he's talking to himself.
Yeah, like talking himself up through it. I'm not a big name yeller.
Neither am I. I'm actually a quiet lover.
Yeah.
Fairly quiet.
I'll whisper some little, like, good jobs in there. Just go into town and be like, you're doing great.
Sometimes I'll go, yee-hoo.
Yes, this is enjoyable.
Mm, yeet.
My penis feels good in here.
The things you're doing with the mouth region feel wonderful on my genitalia. Please continue onward.
Until I evacuate my testicles inside of your vagina.
Yes, until I make your mouth a daycare. Just go ahead and keep doing what you're doing.
Yikes. So, next up, we have a guy that hits this girl up with a really wild one. Definitely a millennial. I want to paint you green and spank you like a disobedient avocado.
I don't even know what to think of it.
Yeah, that's one where I'm surprised he didn't get a message back. Because if I got something this wild, I would definitely have to start... I would want to delve into the inner workings of this kind of brain. You know, one thing that I always said when I was growing up that I wanted to be when I got older would be... I'm trying to think of the name. I think I made the name up, but I thought I read it somewhere. It was like a psychosadistic analyst, and it was basically somebody that would go into, like, the movie Silence of the Lambs, where she's talking to Hannibal Lecter.
That's a real job.
Yeah, it's a real job. I don't know if that's what you actually call them, but I would want to talk to, like, crazy-ass people and find out why the fuck are you
That's like what Harley Quinn was before the Joker. Yeah.
And so it's a form of therapist or a psychologist, but I would want to talk to the most fucked up people, but I would be definitely not very medical about it. I'd be like, yo, cuz, why are you fucking being so wild?
Yeah, and if you, like, I want to spank you like a disobedient avocado. Is it weird that I'm actually okay with that? Like, reading that, I'm like, if I was a girl, I'd probably be wet after that. I think it's so humorous that I would actually be interested.
Yeah, and humor is definitely a good way to get in with the ladies. That's definitely how one thing that I do, because, you know, I don't think I'm an ugly guy, but I'm no fucking Brad Pitt walking around.
Right.
And so you got to throw that humor around. It's definitely a catch. But I'm a little taken back because I don't think I've ever had an avocado go against what I was wanting it to do. It pretty much just lets
me. Yeah, you know, since it's just a fruit.
Avocados are fairly submissive.
Yeah, they're not going to really do anything at all. They're not going to put up a fight as long as you have some sort of not even sharp object to rub against it to get it open.
Yeah, they're usually pretty cooperative, but maybe this guy just has a fantasy where he wants a avocado. He's submissive, so he's really into avocados, and he wants an avocado to put him in his place. Hmm. Next up, we have John. Hits this chick up. Bitch, who the fuck? Why you look like the Wendy's logo? So then this chick, I don't know her name, it doesn't have it here, but she responds with, do you have a problem with that? So obviously she's self-aware and realizes
she's a redhead with freckles.
Yeah. So this guy replies, no, I love Wendy's. Do you have a problem with anal?
Let's get to the real questions.
And so now that he's gotten past the fact, like, I don't have a problem with this, let's see what you might have a problem
with. So I pointed out something about you. I don't have a problem with it. Now I'm going to tell you something I want to do. And let's see if you have a problem with it. Let's see who the bad person is.
Which at this point, he played it really well because it's almost like she's defensive. Like, do you have a problem with this? No, I'm totally accepting of that. So now that he's thrown his question out, Wendy almost has to be accepting of his opinions.
Yeah, too. Because he's accepting the fact that she looks like a fast food chain, actually underage girl that apparently he's really into.
Yeah.
And he wants to have anal with. Now, Wendy looks like a big dick if she goes, no, I'm not into anal. He's like, well, I was fine with you looking like Wendy.
Yeah, and so now she looks like the asshole
in
the situation.
Right, and his name's John. Is this Pope John?
John's making his way around lately. Is this good John?
Or is it a bad John?
I think this is I don't think this guy has ever been the Pope.
You don't think? Do you think he gets often, like, confused for the Pope?
Possibly. I mean, there were 23 Johns that were Popes.
Mm.
And so we've run into that issue before with our tender talks. The last one is an ode to the sweet prince. This lady got matched up with Ryan.
Prince.
Hits him up. This is also the 10th of September 2016. So there's a lot of wild messages that go on around 9/11.
Huh.
I think 9/11 just has people so distraught that they just start sending it just, fucking crazy
messages. Yeah, it just piques their like sexual high. So yeah. They just want to say the
like,
weirdest
wild shit.
This is
a day
shit.
That we were, as a country, in torment. And like when we're worried and we think we might die, probably one of the last things you think about is like, I got to get one more fucking real quick. Yeah. So they just jump on Tinder and stuff. So this guy asks her, are you Harambe's enclosure? Because I want to drop a baby in you. Now, with somebody that never wants to drop a baby in anything.
So that's a dumb or story. Drop a baby. Oh my God.
This guy had a pretty damn good pickup line because she did respond with, oh my God. So she obviously thought it was funny. So this guy totally got to smash.
Yeah, he was definitely.
Like Harambe almost did that baby in the enclosure.
Yes. Harambe, our sweet prince, as you mentioned, sadly is gone. However, he has definitely brought up with this guy a wonderful pickup line to be
Harambe's
used.
Opening doors in the afterlife for amazing pickup.
Can you realize Harambe's death may have gotten this dude laid?
I mean, he's a gorilla for the people. He never wanted to do harm. So now that he's dead, he's still doing everything he can to make our lives better.
Rest in peace, Harambe.
Rest in peace, Harambe. You will always be remembered. So now that we've wrapped up our Tinder talks, we're going to go ahead and just run right into our last segment that we don't have a transition for yet. So if you have a great idea for a Debatables transition, hit us up on our socials or insidethepocketpodcast@gmail.com. Since none of you guys send us any other fucking messages, that would be a great thing for you to hit us up with. Starting off with our first Debatable. If you had super speed or super strength, like some sort of superhero, like if you were the Flash or Mr. Incredible or something, why would you not use a pro athlete as your secret identity? Like, tone it back a little bit. Not only would you be rich and famous and stuff, but then like people would be so infatuated with your famous secret identity that it would probably take away from
being a
superhero. Like, people like Iron Man's just out there. Like, Tony Stark's like, fuck you, I'm Iron Man. Yeah. He's basically like Batman, but Batman still keeps his shit a secret.
Right.
And, you know, Batman's this big rich guy too. I mean, they're both rich. That's basically a superpower in itself. And so it was like Oliver Queen early on when he got started, but then later he becomes a mayor and everything else right. To kind of hide it. But, I mean, if you had super speed or super strength, like the Flash is a forensic...
I think you would just shit on everyone too much. Like, I know you're going to dial it back, but when you're playing the sport, are you really going to let anyone tackle you? You could be the only running back in history to never get tackled.
Yeah, it's just...
Really? You're going to just let that slip by? You could even do it where, like, you're just going slightly faster than everyone, just to where you're out of reach. Always. 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 So it looks like you are still... But you're definitely...
Always.
Yeah. You're definitely showing that you are not normal. Like, you'd just be the best one ever, and it'd be too much.
But
or you'd be risking getting hurt.
Yeah, but people like the Flash heal instantly and stuff.
I guess.
I would probably do
it. What if something bad happens while you're at a game? Like, let's say NFL, for example.
You could even do something, though. Like, you could be a baseball player, so if the Flash can slow down time, he could move so fast. And so he could literally just be one of those people. He doesn't always have to hit a home run. Just have the highest on-base percentage of any player of all time. And then the greatest base stealer of all time.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And then, but just every once in a while, just fucking hit one to a guy. And just... keep it.
You think that someone who's a superhero also playing sports, probably extremely competitive and doesn't like losing?
No, yeah, but they're tactical.
Yeah, I don't know. When you're on the field, though, you think he's going to want to just run a dinker over there to the shortstop?
I don't mind striking out or flying out as long as I win the game. No, but if you're like, I still win my games.
I guess.
But then you do got to throw games once in a while because then they'll be like, oh, every team this guy's on just never loses a game.
Right.
Be like fucking Madden or any of the video games you play.
Yeah, even though I lost. Oh, new Madden was out, actually.
Oh, yeah, there was something we forgot to talk about. I personally love the new Madden.
It is fun, it is fun.
It slowed down a little bit, I feel like, but it feels realer.
Yeah, the passing I really enjoy. I love the passing of the game. The running is very, very hard, and I'm mad because I lost my first game in my franchise.
condolences.
Yeah, I know. I was really upset about it. I fucking shit stomped everyone.
You're way better at the game, though, and you play on a way harder difficulty than I do. And so that's one thing.
But I was still... I almost had to buy a new TV yesterday because I punched the screen. I thought I broke it, but I didn't.
I've almost done that a few times. But speaking of Madden and football in general and our debatables topic, that brings me to my next debatable, which would be halftime shows for football should basically be where they bring out a real version of each team's mascot to the middle of the field and they fucking fight each other. Which you're going to have some where one always wins. Like,
well, you know who wins all of them? The Lions.
Well, not always.
What other mascot's going to be? The Steelers is just a beam.
Yeah, a steel beam. How's a lion going to beat a steel beam?
Knock it over?
What if it falls on the lion?
Pretty sure a lion's going to be agile enough to dodge a steel beam.
I don't know. It's never seen a steel beam in the wild. It might just be like, the fuck.
Unless it was an encaged lion.
Yeah, but they don't just have steel beams falling around.
No, but I'm sure they see them.
Yeah, but they don't. They've never seen one fall, so he's going to be like, oh, I've never seen one of these fall before. Oh, it's moving a little bit. That's where. Oh, I'm dead.
No, I don't think so. I think a lion is not retarded. So if something.
What if it was one? What if it was one of those things where the lion's on the field? And then when it's the Lions versus the Steelers, they crane a steel beam over top and just drop it and see. There's like 10 steel beams. And if one of the steel beams hits it, the Steelers win. And if the Lion doesn't die, the Lions win. But then you'll have games where it's like the fucking Jets, where literally they crash a fucking jet into whatever the other mascot is.
I hope they're not playing the Giants because, you know, Jets and giant things in New York.
Giants don't seem to fare well.
Yeah, they don't seem to fare too well against Jets.
Yeah, 9/11 jokes. A lot of 9/11 references in this one. Yep. A little weird. But what are some other good ones that you can think of as far as the mascots go? You'd have, like, the Bears.
Broncos versus the Ravens.
Like, just a horse stomp at the ship. But a raven could probably just fly around. Fuck up a...
Or do you think it's like a herd of ravens? Or is it just one raven?
Yeah, if it's one of those things where it's like a smaller animal, they get a herd of them. Like, a group of falcons would probably fuck some shit up. Like, a falcon's wing bird or an eagle. Yeah. Get a falcon versus an eagle, that'd be a good even match.
That would be a fun one.
And then a panther versus a lion. Or
a jaguar.
A buccaneer, some guy, literally like a pirate.
Or a raider.
Out.
Dude.
Ooh, pirates versus the Raiders.
Yeah, pirates versus the Raiders. That would be actually really fun to watch.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. And then, and then what are some other ones that would be good? What are some...
The Bengals. You could do the Bengals and... Oh, man. What's a good one to pair with the Bengals? What would the Browns... Oh, there's the dog. You could do the big...
Bulldog.
The Bulldog.
Yeah, the Dog Pound. So you'd have them. A Viking would be good for, like, the Raiders ones that you could do. A Ram would be a good one to fight some things. Washington Redskins would also be one of those, like an Indian.
The Chargers would just be, like, a lightning bolt, I guess. It would be, like... A lightning bolt hitting something and seeing if
it would
survives.
Be Usain Bolt would come out and fight people.
Usain Bolt would just get in fist fights with people.
Kansas City Chiefs and the Redskins would be a very similar
Kansas
fight.
City Chiefs versus the Patriots would be a good one.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
Even
or
though
the Cowboys, you know, the typical thing.
Yeah. Well, that'd be the Redskins versus the Cowboys.
Cowboys and Indians. What would you do for the Titans or the Packers?
The Titans,
Packers would just be a giant block of cheese.
And it would be if whatever it's facing could finish the giant block of cheese. Yeah. Mm. And what was the other one you just said?
The Tennessee Titans.
The Tennessee Titans, I think you just need to find a massive person.
It would be the guy that plays the mountain in Game of Thrones would come because he's a big-ass dude.
Yeah.
You'd just get this big-ass dude to fight. What about the San Francisco 49ers?
You could just have 49 gay people from San Francisco
come to the field and fight whoever else comes out there. That's a very good idea. You got Buffalo, you got the Dolphins.
The Bears would be a good one just to put out.
Now, if you
have
the Dolphins, the Dolphin wouldn't fare very well most of the time, or would you throw the other one in the water with the Dolphin?
Well, dolphins are mammals, so I believe dolphins can actually go out on the land.
Yeah, but it can't survive forever, I don't think.
I think they can. I think they can stay out of water as long as they want. They just don't because they don't have extremities to keep them on land.
We're going to have to fact check that because I don't think that's true.
Do you think they dry out? Yeah. Like their skin dry out? Yeah. I bet it would, actually.
I mean, there's a reason they're in the water. Interesting. But yeah, that's what I had for there. Did you have any other debatables you wanted to get into?
I do actually have one, but before I get into it, this is just a weird fact that I'm realizing. Are the Dolphins the only water-based team?
in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, there's the Seahawks, but they're not in the water.
They're just a bird.
Yeah, are they the only thing based off water?
I mean, you got... Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're pirates.
Yeah, and they were, like, on the water a bunch. Yeah, I can see that.
And so you got that. The Colts would be a horse.
Mm-hmm. Mm. The Broncos versus the Colts would be a fun one.
Ooh, that would be a fun one. Just a big horse versus a little horse.
Just horses just kicking the fucking shit out of each other.
You could also say the Vikings are water ones because they took the big boats across the oceans.
Yeah, you could. So,
but yeah, the Dolphins really the only. There's no sharks. There's right. No barracudas. Those are, would mm-hmm. be some cool ones.
All right, but I do have a debatable, and here it is. If you receive money for each dick you sucked in a row to completion, how many dicks would you suck? The worth multiplies by 2 for each successful dick sucked to completion. And then you get to keep the money from the prior dick you sucked.
Okay.
So, you suck one dick, you get $1.
Not worth.
You suck 2 dicks, you get $2. But now you have 3 because you get to keep the 1 from the first one.
Okay.
3 dicks, you get $4. 4 dicks, you get $8. 5 dicks, you get $16. You get all the way down, you get somewhere like...
What about when you get around 20 dicks?
20 dicks, you get $524,282.
Plus the previous amounts up to that, so you're probably around $1 million by the time you get to 20 dicks.
Yeah.
What if you suck 5 more dicks?
If you make yourself to 25, you get $16,777,216 for sucking 25 dicks.
How long did you do this list up to?
I did it up to 31.
31 dicks. It's a weird number of dicks to put on a list. But what happens if... What's the amount you get for the 31st dick you suck?
$1,073,741,824.
Plus all the money you made prior to that. So you're a multi-billionaire.
Now, at 30 dicks, you got to cut that $1 billion in half of it, $536,870,000.
So that 31st dick, you're getting over a... You're getting over $500 million.
Yes. For the 30th dick, you're getting $500 million.
I think I'd be sucking 31 dicks.
I think I'd be sucking about 50 dicks.
After that much, after a while, you're starting to enjoy it because I don't think I need much more than a couple $1 billion.
Yeah, but you could do anything. Like, you would, like, even with, like, all the money you had before, I know, like, $1 billion you probably couldn't go through.
I'd have so much money, I could erase my mind and all the minds of the people whose dick I sucked.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I would get to 50 and I would just buy a country. I would just, or I'd do, you know what? If I was president, I would suck every dick until I could pay off the deficit that we're in.
That's a president for the people.
Yep. I'm sucking as many dicks as it takes for me to pay off the deficit that the United States
is. It kind of reminds me of that Black Mirror episode where they made the president fuck the pig and televise it. But then it turned out that they didn't actually do what they were thinking they were going to do.
We don't ruin things.
Yeah, no spoilers. But you should watch Black Mirror. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, that would be a noble thing to do for the presidency. Mm-hmm. If I did it, I would probably just go wild.
Yeah, I don't know. Once I hit $1 billion, like, for
probably personal, do a little gay shit for $1 billion.
Yeah, I'd probably. Would you let someone fuck you for $1 billion in the ass?
Oh, I don't know.
I think
I feel like that'd be a lot less.
I think I would for $1 billion.
I was gonna say less enjoyable, but I don't think I'd enjoy sucking a dick at all. So it would be it would be more less enjoyable.
You're gonna give me $1 billion. You can pretty much do whatever you want to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm easy.
Yeah, you're a little easy.
Am I?
Yeah. But that's what you can expect. So that's the amount of dicks that we would suck for large amounts of money. Let us know how much money that you would need to suck some dicks. And girls
I
have
guess,
it easy.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck. It's a woman's world, I guess.
Yeah, you're going to make billions of dollars. You could just go out on a weekend and make $1 billion.
Yeah, so now that we're done talking sucking dicks and my dog is freaking the fuck out, we're going to jump into our beer review.
I'm not made for paving long roads. I ain't cut out to climb high line poles, but I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
As always, our beer reviews are brought to you by Barrels Bar and Grill at 6726 Highway Inn in O'Fallon, Missouri. They got 109 beers on tap, amazing food, and awesome people there. Be sure and check them out. They sponsor all these beer reviews, and you can also help us out and them by picking up an Inside the Pocket t-shirt while you're there, so be sure and check them out. Austin, what beer are we reviewing this week?
We're doing the Sweetwater Brewing Company Going Coastal IPA with pineapple. It's shit.
Yeah. You brought this to me earlier when we started doing it, and we normally drink our beers throughout the podcast, and then that way, once we get to the end, we can give you guys an honest review after we've had two or three of them. But we got about a third to a halfway through this bottle.
I got three quarters through it, and I couldn't take it anymore. It was making my stomach hurt. The taste of it in my mouth was bothering me. I left and went and bought different drinks so we could drink those throughout because of how fucking nasty this one was.
Yeah, there's a big fish on the front of it. There's like, looks like Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn fishing on the front of it, and they got this big fish. I'm pretty sure they just like squeezed the fucking piss out of that and put it in this bottle, and that's what mm-hmm. you're drinking.
Yeah.
Didn't taste fruity. It didn't taste like, it just sucked.
No, nothing about it was good. And I will say they have a good marketing firm because they do a nice light blue color on it, and they have some vibrant colors, and they say that it has pineapple in it, and on the Going part of the Going Coastal name is a giant pineapple, and it leads you to believe there's going to be a lot of pineapple taste in it. No, it's just not good. I was not a fan of it. I will never buy this beer again.
They have a tag on it. This is cash in a sick day and grab another. That's because if you drink one of these entire things, you're probably going to have to take a sick day because you'll be feeling so terrible after drinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is the Sweetwater Brewing Company Going Coastal IPA with pineapple. Out of 10, what are you giving this one, Austin?
I'm giving this one a 0.7, not even one.
I think I'm going to be right there with you. I agree with that review. This is a combined first review where we've both given it the same thing. I wouldn't even give this a one star. I feel like I would have to at least be able to drink the whole beer. It could still be bad.
Yeah, I couldn't even drink the whole beer. That's why I'm giving it less than one.
If I can't even get through the beer, you're not even getting a star from me. And Sweetwater Brewing Company, nothing sweet about this. This was just a terrible beer.
And I wouldn't mind trying some of their other ones to see if it's all like that, but this one seemed to be the most grabbing to me, and I'm not happy with it at all.
And the idea, this is the second time we've had one. We gave a bad review to a Schlafly beer that was supposed to be coconut and cream, which I like those flavors. I'm a big pineapple fan too. But same thing, the fact that I couldn't even drink it drops you almost to the bottom of the scale, and the fact that your beer didn't even taste the way you advertised it is another thing that knocks shit down. So definitely not a beer that we would recommend or ever drink again.
Yep.
All right, that pretty much wraps up the beer review and the podcast. Like I said, guys, we're on iTunes now, so be sure to subscribe to us on there. Leave us some reviews. That helps us a ton. We would really appreciate it. Be sure and check out our awesome sponsors, The Vapor Store and Barrels Tap House and Grill. And we will see you guys next week.
Yeet!
Inside the pocket of a clown is a sad place to